Of course, I would like to almost greet everyone personally. I see Hari Prasad has come from New York with Bal Krishnaji, and our Hari Shyam is there, Shumit is there, and some devotees from Berlin who will give him support. And I saw Hladini from Mayapur. Now, I don't see, but yes, there. And so many whom I know. Our Krishna Saka, the friend of Krishna, has come. Of course, I would like to greet all of you personally. But I still see many cars ship between guru and disciple is much more than just a relationship between two people. In this relationship, God can appear. That's the whole idea of the relationship. And the appearance of the Lord in his many ways, as avatars, holy name, avatar, deity avatar, etc., will always be a little bit beyond our human understanding. We will never be able to fully grasp it. We can only feel it when it is intact, just like with chanting the holy name. How can you understand that this is Krishna? But when you chant properly, you can experience the presence of the Lord, no? Or deities. How can you understand with your eyes how in this form the Lord is present? But if you are there in the right mood, in the right dasha mood, oh, you can feel encouragement and the awakening of inner knowledge. All these things cannot be understood rationally, but they can be understood or experienced, I wanted to say, in the purified heart, or when we do things properly. So, yes, for me, this festival is a time to reflect deeply about my own relationship to Srila Prabhupada and the personality who looks at you at the moment from this beautiful installation, Lord Nityananda. Good, so I'm unlimitedly happy to be there. This is, for me, the most relaxed festival. right after it, we go to India, where we have an international retreat again. And then I go to Rishikesh, where I participate in a huge festival where I have been invited, the banks of Mother Ganga, and so on and so forth. But this is a festival of wonderful, of a very heartwarming relationship. I'm also aware that many of my disciples will be able to look on these lectures, you know, later in the future, or they will be with us through these little, through YouTube and Facebook. I think it is live streamed. And I greet also all of you now and those who see in the future. Good. I will sing a little bit, Kirtan, but very brief. Let me just see if I... Yes, I have. Thank you. Christaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
My dear devotees, may I ask you if you are singing and then singing to Krishna, or if you are still a little bit in your mind? Please, from the sound we can hear, that you can still be a little bit more focused on Krishna. Please sing to Krishna. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Prabhu Maharaj, Prabhu Maharaj, Prabhu Maharaj, Prabhu Maharaj. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Jaya Gauranjitai, 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Once again, welcome, 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 welcome. If I reflect about our relationship, I think in the majority of cases, the large majority of cases, it is a relationship that is arranged by Krishna. I recognize that there are also relationships which have to do perhaps with some old karma or which just happened on not such a deep level. I call these lift relationships, you know, the people meet in the lift and after two or three stories or levels, they disperse and they do not meet again. Yes, this is also there. There are, it is unavoidable, I think. But by and large, the majority is a relationship, which is the majority of cases here. We find ourselves in a relationship organized or arranged by Krishna. There are many verses in the Bhagavatam and also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that by divine arrangement we meet a spiritual master. Normal relationships happen under the force of time and karma. In the Bhagavatam, the example is given that twigs and leaves will meet for some time on the river and then they will be separated. Or there's one very nice verse in the sixth canto where it's described how normal relationships happen almost accidentally. This is the translation. As small particles of sand come together and are separated by the force of the waves, the living entities come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. You remember when you visit the banks of an ocean and you see the waves coming in and they bring some sand particles together. They tumble and move towards the beach and then the receding waves bring these same sand particles apart from each other. Like I met many people today at the Autobahn and a few really liked the new color of my dhoti. I remember when I went into the bathroom, a few went like, ah! Yes, I said, new color. So, but just like we were brought together, we are also separated again. It happens by the force of time. However, the relationship we have amongst ourselves, in most cases, are arranged by Krishna. There's in the Bhagavatam a beautiful narration of an assembly of saints. They are there sitting in the forest, and a question haunts them. What is the best way to counteract the influence of the Kali Yuga, which is just around the corner, it's just coming? And then Sunda Goswami, who acts as their Shiksha Guru, comes and explains that yes, there is a very good process that works in the age of Kali, that is to hear about Krishna and to chant about him, no? And then the saints, or these people who are in the assembly, they address Sunda Goswami, where they, and they reflect about the meetings. They say, only by our very good fortune did we meet, and we now accept you as our guru. You will be like the captain of our ship, and you will help us to navigate the ocean of Kali Yuga, the ocean of faults. So in the same way, those who are disciples, I recognize that there are also devotees who are not my disciples, and you are also very welcome, of course. But those who are disciples, they know, we have met. If I would not have met him, my life would have taken perhaps a different course, a different direction. And I would love to meet him again and again, so that my life again takes a good directions. And that's why we come to such festivals. It's to meet again, to come together again, to touch our hearts again. You must know, in our meeting, there is one particular essence. And I think only if this essence is understood can the guru-disciple relationship work. There is one particular aspect that you can obtain in the guru-disciple relationship that is very helpful. And that is hints or instructions and so on to move forward on the spiritual path. Did you know in this world there are many things you have, you are busy with? What are you busy with? I see one devotee dreams about making money. I better don't look into any in the crowd, otherwise I will say things and immediately you are frustrated with me. Internet, phones. You're making, earning our livelihood takes quite some time for many of us. Relationships, to form relationships, to maintain relationships, takes quite some effort in this life. To build our existence and so on. To make phone calls, to drive a car, to put money into the bank and so on. Do you know that all things in this world can be done by others, except one thing that lies only in your hand? That is your own spiritual practice. People, they are better talkers, better money makers, better dreamers, better book writers, better singers than you. The world has a lot of this, but there's one thing that you can do that will make a huge difference. That is your own spiritual practice. And the Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that really mature people, after they have made a lot of experience, they are only interested in this one effort, this one, the spiritual practice that puts them, builds them a house in the spiritual world, so to say. Did you ever think of spiritual practice like this? What you do here, And I'm not speaking about construction work, what you do in your spiritual world that builds you a place or guarantees you a place just next to Krishna. That is what spiritual practice can do for you. The verse in the Bhagavatam, it says, Tasyeva heto prayate to kovida. Intelligent people should endeavor only for that which is not obtainable even by wandering from Brahma Loka down to Patala Loka. Think about this. Are you endeavoring for only that is not obtainable by wandering from Brahma Loka down to Patala Loka? I heard today there are two devotees in Paris because one devotee likes to attend car shows. Not mannequin shows. Car shows. No? So that car you can get in this world. But there's something you cannot get. Yeah, the verse continues. Sense enjoyment, for which everyone endeavors, can be obtained automatically in the course of time. Just as in course of time we obtain miseries without desiring. Happiness, in other words, and miseries come automatically to you. Spiritual benefit doesn't come always automatically to you. Prabhupada explains this. The philosophically inclined person should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge. Hari Shyam, permanent life of bliss and knowledge. Wow, that's a new concept. Where he will not be forced to return to this miserable material world. He should not be tempted by material positions. This is why we meet. We are like a group of treasure hunters who look for treasures not in America, not in Japan, not in Bangladesh, not in Germany. We look for the transcendental treasures that have to do with love, love of Krishna. Yeah, very special meeting, very special assembly, very special goal. Now you must know this bhakti, and here I will almost end. It is wonderful. It sometimes happens that on the path of bhakti, we become so much confronted with our human reality that temporarily we may even leave the path of bhakti. We are meeting, for instance, our material desires, which again rise their face, or we become covered with a lack of determination. And there are a few of my disciples who have not been able to maintain their spiritual vows very successfully. But you must know bhakti is so wonderful that nothing which you do on this path gets ever lost. It's an eternal investment. It will always stay with you. And in this way, the glories of bhakti are established beyond all achievements in this world. You will have to leave everything. I was a little bit emotionally touched. My mother had beautiful, how do you call this? Decorations? Schmuck, how do we say schmuck?
Jewelry,
yes. Spanish, Italian, Morocco, all types of jewelry. When she died, she could not, of course, she could not take any jewelry with herself, but she wanted that her jewelry would be worn by ladies in the family, you know, the next generation. But the ladies in the family, I heard, came to this huge collection of jewelry, and they looked at everything. They said, this is the style of another time, you know. And your friends, maybe the friends want to have something. No, we are all young people. We like modern jewelry, but this looks like as if we have come out of the grave, you know. And everything had to be sold to Poland. That's where everything goes in Germany. I mean, there are lots of Polish production. I don't want to say like this, but usually, at least in Berlin, we see always the German cars, which are old and broken, are brought over the border to Poland. So we say in North Germany, I mean, in the village which I live, is everything goes to Poland, you know, which does not, I hope it's not a hurtful statement. So everything goes to, which you do here, it goes to the material energy, flows back like that. I felt hurt because my mother was, and I can't wear it, you know. I felt the temporary existence. She was so proud of having this collection of jewelry. Also, all the books of my father are sold on the flea market, you know. No one is interested in it because everything is temporary, and no one can take what is precious to them with you, but bhakti, or with them, but bhakti, my dear devotees, even if you are not successful in this one lifetime, it will never go away. There is a verse about this which I would like to sing for you. Navai jano jatu katanchana brajan mukunda sevyan Yavad anga sangsritim smarang mukundangri upaguhanam puna vihatum ichennaraso graho jana. Oh, says here. The person who serves the Lord Mukunda will never under any condition return to the material world. Unlike practitioners of other processes, remembering the embrace of the Lord's lotus feet, eager for the taste he has experienced, he will not desire to give up those feet again. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, even if a devotee is overcome because of poor determination and due to misfortune leaves the process, the person who has once served Mukunda never returns to samsara, the world of birth and death. So he says, even though one may give up by his own choice the worship once, so you may bloop once, twice, or you may fall down two times in your life, or three times because of poor determination. Now your determination is not so strong to say no to Maya. After some time, he will remember the previous state of bliss from remembering the Lord and also remembering his present state of distress. You will remember, now I'm not happy, but I was happy. He repents. Oh, what have I foolishly done? Let that be. I will not again abandon worship of the Lord. Then he begins to worship the Lord. In other words, sometimes in bhakti, you may not be successful. There may be your conditioned nature, which comes there. For instance, you may have been a thief of money, and you may steal again. In bhakti, we saw this in our community. Or you may have been attached to sense gratification, and again you will fall in the same trap and do things that are not helpful for your spiritual advancement. But ultimately, the glory of bhakti is such that you will not be able to forget it. You will instead remember your past bliss and see the suffering which you are undergoing by not being in bhakti. And the reason is that in bhakti, from the very beginning, that is, where one only has the desire, I want to taste something in bhakti, one gets a little taste, and it's described that taste is like a ghost that never leaves you, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. When someone is haunted by a ghost, that stays, the ghost is with you, except you meet an exorcist or something. You are all from Western life, but this is very common in Bengal and so on. You are haunted, in other words, by the bhakti rasa that stays with you. I once saw a ghostly possessed person. It was already 20 years, I heard from the people in the village, and he was still having this. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness will stay with you, will stick with you, bhakti will stick with you. Therefore, every one of us, determined or not so determined, heroic or not so heroic, should feel bhakti is very powerful, and in the association of devotees, where we meet our spiritual master and progress in bhakti, there's nothing more covetable means desirable than advancing in bhakti. And that's the idea of this festival. See this beautiful photo? You appreciate? Yes. It is Nitai Chandra, the moon of Lord Nityananda. A moon rises in the night, and he gives the light from him to everyone. A person who is awake, who is not awake, a thief who is just trying to break into the house of a householder, a lover that returns from a stormy night, those who need to work in the night and go by transportation, they all get the moonlight without discrimination. So the festival which we are going to celebrate is the appearance day of this Nityananda, who is willing to distribute his mercy to everyone who just happens to be there. And I hope that the flood of Lord Nityananda will get all of us, will get into our hearts. And I know some of you have to go, and after some days, and will not be there for the whole festival. Don't worry, you made it to the, you made it into the room where the mercy will flow. So that mercy will reach you, no matter how long you were able to stay in the room. What I want to say is, this is not about locality. This mercy is about tuning ourselves into the consciousness of a receiver. Yeah, this is what I wanted to say. I wanted to highlight, in other words, our relationship. I always felt like, feel like this when I look at the relationship with each one of my disciples. I just met a disciple with whom I did not have so much close contact over the last few years, and we took time to sit together and talk about this relationship, and also about Krishna consciousness, of course. And we really saw it was a meeting that brought both of us in contact with this mystery of the guru-disciple relationship. I would even say, fasten your seatbelt, this transpersonal relationship. What I mean with this, it goes far, far, far beyond the human relationship, where, let us say, an American man meets a German man who is dressed in beautiful color, a beautiful color dhoti. you know, I'm saying it because I have been understood not all of you like my new color. But you're surprised, in other words. So, yes, in a it goes far, far beyond. I always say the guru is more and the disciple is more than just, this is a different level. And therefore, let's keep it sacred. And when we don't always understand it, or it's not the way our mind flows at this moment in time, it doesn't matter a bit, because this is something which is of a spiritual nature. Hare Krishna. Yes, I wanted to end here already, but not without seeing if you have any questions that you would like to say, or subjects you like to address, where I can say something hopefully inspiring. But it's so nice to see all of you. Krishna, Krishna. And I hear many of you are just coming as we approach more the weekend. Today, Friday, is travel day for many of you. And Saturday, Sunday, yes, festival day. Could you understand what I wanted to say? Yes. What? No, I'm serious. I might ask you a few questions this time. Syamananda, what did you understand?
That the relationship is not only on one level, not only on the outside, the visual level.
Wonderful.
It's on the more spiritual level, and it's also somehow not only personal, but it's connected with our relationship to Krishna, so it's many different dimensions.
Thank you. Wonderful, Syamananda. Wonderful. I knew that you would the reason why I think this is so important, because we might miss this point. I'm in the situation that I, of course, talk to many, many, many devotees, and they talk about their relationships with their spiritual masters, invariably, cannot be avoided, because the human condition is like this. They point out, some dissatisfaction perhaps, and the transmission of knowledge. And I always think to myself, yeah, I've been there also. I have read Prabhupada's books and then compared his commentaries to commentaries of other acharyas, and sometimes I found a lot of clarity in these other things, and I've asked myself why and so on. I have during my time with Srila Prabhupada, I only remember very fond memories. It was because Srila Prabhupada commanded so much respect that and also when we saw him, there was just this total transcendental dimension. He was clearly a siddha, a perfected soul. Whereas a person like me considers himself a sadhaka, no? Someone who tries to do his best in his spiritual practice. I would like to give you an example which just came to my mind. It's when Prabhupada was, he had to leave America to get a green card that is an addition to the visa that allowed him a long-term stay in America. So he went for visa work to Montreal in Canada, and his work was, an invitation to Montreal was facilitated by a Bengali gentleman called Mr. Mukherjee, who was very friendly, but somehow something went sour for Mr. Mukherjee, and this came out when Prabhupada gave a lecture in a Catholic missionary, Catholic girls' school, not missionary school, girls' school. At the end of Prabhupada's program, Mr. Mukherjee went up and started to insult Srila Prabhupada. Don't you see, they have their religion. Why do you come to preach this Hindu religion and only confuse them? So Prabhupada listened and he didn't answer, which was very untypical. In the past he had, you know, when this question came up, he said, we are not Hindu. The sun is never German or American or Canada, so God is never Hindu or Christian or anything. So he had said in the past, he had given such an answer. But this time, he just said humbly and did not respond to the challenge and the insult. And Mr. Mukherjee went on for some time. Then after a month, when Prabhupada's visa work was done, he was about to leave the next day, actually, and he told Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that at that time he was known as Gopal, please contact Mr. Mukherjee and ask him, I would be so glad if he could come. Gopal Krishna said, why do you want to see Mr. Mukherjee? I mean, he made such a scene and he fell into your bag and insulted you. Why do you want to see him? And since we are at the point, why did you not react and defend the Krishna consciousness against this unreasonable attack? And Prabhupada said, no. And then after some time he explained, I have done something in my past life I have offended Mr. Mukherjee, and he came back to give it back to me. And therefore, I had to tolerate. Now it's equal. So Gopal Krishna, what a vision he sees in his past life, what whom he met, and then he recognizes them in this life. My God, woo! So he went to Mr. Mukherjee, and Mr. Mukherjee was just, it seemed he had just waited for this invitation. So he came along and he said, Prabhupada, I'm so sorry that I said this foolish thing, you know. I don't know why. Srila Prabhupada did not explain why it had happened. Past life entanglement needed to be solved. But he just forgave Mr. Mukherjee and helped his spirit to rise again. You know, he became joyful. So when we were with Prabhupada, all these things would happen. You know, one day, for many days actually, when Prabhupada left the temple, a cat came and walked around his legs, you know, and made meow, meow, meow. And Prabhupada stopped it, let the cow the cat have his moment of cat love. And then one day, this happened daily for about a week. The cat was found on the street, just it had died, a car had run over it and killed it. And so the devotees asked Prabhupada, this cat behaved so affectionately towards you, what was with this cat? And Prabhupada did not answer. But later, devotees came in the room and again drilled the question. Anything? What happened? What is with this cat? And Prabhupada answered, he was my disciple from the last life. And he fell down, and in this and he did really wild things, became a cat. But in this life, Krishna brought us together again. I'm very happy, and Krishna took him back to him. So, you know, when you hear this, and when you hear this from the mouth of a person who is not at all a sensationalist, do you understand this word? Who just says something to create attention to his person. But when you see Prabhupada so humble, and so you feel, wow, whew, wow, he remembers. Hopefully he will remember me, you know. when we were with Srila Prabhupada, there couldn't be any doubt in him. The way he carried himself, just the fact that he only slept two hours or so in the day, and then he translated, or sometimes 4 hours. What to speak of all those miracles where he levitated and whatever. But Prabhupada always told us, don't look at these. They have nothing to do with bhakti. You know, when you saw him, for instance, crying for Krishna, and you felt the atmosphere going into your heart, and you felt like absolutely blissful and transcendental. But yes, Prabhupada left the body, time went, days and years came, and in the absence of the guru, it is sometimes not easy to always be tuned in. So I know this the situation when it's not so so alive, so to say, the relationship. And therefore, I wanted to always to remind us there is a dimension there that deserves our attention. We did not just meet like the sand in the on the beach, which was flushed by the waves. So we, this life where we were born, wherever we were born, we just and then we happened to go to a festival and we saw each other and we we spoke with each other. That's the meeting. No, there is a divine cause in it, because the content of this meeting, the essential point, the goal, the process, all this is absolutely wonderful and spiritual and everlasting. We hear even when we due to poor determination, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we leave that sphere of Krishna consciousness, and that means we leave not only the lotus feet of Krishna, but also our guru. Ah, no problem, it stays with us and it will continue. Hare Krishna. This was Syamananda. He was giving a wonderful summary. Thank you, Syamananda. Thank you. Very nice. Very nice to see you also. I know you have to go a little earlier back to do the necessary things. Hmm. Anyone would like to ask a question? Oh, Dhruv, you are also here. Hare Krishna, welcome. I didn't recognize you because of the hoodie. Nice to see you. Hare Bol. Yes, Kunya Vihari. Am I correct? I sometimes don't see, so yes, good. We have a microphone for you.
Thank you very much. First, I want to say my question should not be unasked. Challenging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I try to listen to all three lectures, and I hear you speak a lot of chanting of the holy name, and also we have to hear about Krishna, about his leaders and so on. That's the two important things. And you say this very often, but then I realize you actually don't speak so much Krishna Lila. And my question is why? Is it because no one is interested in it? No one is understanding it? Or understanding it wrong? Of course you speak a lot, but not so much in comparison how often you say we should listen to Krishna Lila. It's my impression.
This is a very good question. When you want to go from Berlin to Frankfurt, what is more important, the town Frankfurt or the train that brings you there? I know that's or the car or the bicycle. You know, I think it is very important to speak about the means, and then leave it to the individual's maturity to do that. But having said this, which sounds almost a little, let me use a good word, explanatory, I have seen the need to speak about Krishna Lila. It's very, very, very important. And You will see, I will speak here for a lot of Nityananda tomorrow or day after tomorrow. And usually during the festivals, I speak always in the evening, Krishna Leela. We have talked about this in the Govardhan retreat, where we have a lot of Krishna Katha, Bhagavat Katha, and your observation is correct, Gunya Bihari. We came to the conclusion, in ISKCON we don't speak a lot about Krishna, somehow. and sometimes when you do, you have to be careful, because it seems we don't attract so much devotees who like to hear about Krishna. And we have tried, we are trying to change that. So you, I have actually prepared a Krishna Leela, and now where you have asked, I feel encouraged to speak about it. But your observation is right, Gunya Bihari, it is right. And the process is Nam Kirtan and remembering Krishna. This should be done. The Bhagavatam talks about this. And I think we do a lot of Kirtan, at least there are Kirtan Melas happening. I'm traveling from one to the other. The Krishna Leela needs to be increased. There are few devotees who see this. So once Krishna asked, so can I, because I'm convinced of what you say. Once Krishna asked Mother Yashoda, Maya, whom do you like most? So Yashoda, of course you, I like you most. Then Krishna, little boy, was asking, and how much do you like me? When you go out in the morning for playing with the calves, I cry and only count the moments until you return and come here. Oh, Mother, you are crying? Mother Yashoda was stuck. It's a cry. Krishna said, then I have an idea. What, will you stay at home? I can't. But we can make a full a picture of me, and then you can look at the picture when I'm going. Mother Yashoda said, but who will make such a beautiful picture? It is not possible. So Krishna says, I have a friend, Shubhal Shaka. We have one here whose name is Krishna Shaka, so that means a friend of Krishna. This is Shubhal Shaka. He's also a friend of Krishna. And they called Shubhal and said, Shubhal, give us a little boy, can you paint a picture of me? You are so beautiful, who can paint a picture of you? And but I know that there is one Sakhi who has been gifted by Mother Saraswati to paint beautiful. Who knows the name of this Sakhi? Chitrasakhi. There is a village of Chitrasakhi just near Tovashana. There is a song about this village. O Radha, you come to this village and your footbells tingle, and the light from your foot nails are illuminating the path. when you come to Shetasakhi's village. So yes, so they got Shetasakhi to come, and Yashoda said, "Oh, Shetasakhi, yes, mother, Subal has brought me here. What do you want? My little boy wants that you paint a photo of him." What is a photo? Painting of him. So Shetasakhi looked at Krishna and said, "Well, I need to make some notes. Stand straight." So Krishna was there. He always went like. And Krishna said, "I can't stand straight. I have to stand in my tribhanga form, you know, foot over, right foot over the left, knees this way, shoulder this way, flute this way. But it's so difficult to paint you in this form. But I can't stand straight." The answer is, when someone carries a heavy burden, somehow his body will twist. So Krishna carries the burden of love for his devotees. Even one devotee from Berlin is loved by him. So Krishna said, I can't sit still, nor can I. So Shetasakhi took some notes of the eyes and everything and said, Tika, and went to her village and tried to paint Krishna. But as we all know, Krishna is not so easy to grasp, not in our meditation, not what to speak of in a painting. And she did 1,000 attempts of painting the ideal picture of Krishna, but always threw it away. Finally, she came back to Mother Yashoda and said, "I can't paint a picture of Krishna. He is so beautiful. I have been blessed by Saraswati, but it's not possible for me." So Krishna was hearing this, and he had this mission that his mother should not feel sad because she loved him the most and loved him so much that she could not tolerate the passage of the minutes and the hours of the day in his absence. So when Shetasakhi turned back frustrated or not frustrated, feeling very, very unfortunate, Krishna went to her and said, "You can only see me through the eyes of my devotees. You must go to the foremost of my devotees and look into her eyes." Who's the best of Krishna's devotees? Radharani. Yes, Radharani's eyes are bluish because she always looks at Krishna. It is said in poetry, the eyes of an angel are blind because he's blind to this world. He doesn't see the world. He sees so much more and everything, no? So Radharani is only having Krishna in her eyes. So Shetasakhi went to Radha and said, I want to paint a picture of Krishna. Radha was at that moment longing to be in the presence of Krishna. And she had looked on the ground and she was crying. There was a flood of tears, much like this, coming from her lotus eyes because she missed Krishna so much. But it is said, when there is viraha, genuine separation from Krishna. Krishna may not be outside visible, but he appears where? In the heart, yes. And the eyes are windows to the heart. You know, if you look into a person's eye, you can say, tell the truth now, and I will look into your eyes. And the heart cannot lie, the mind can lie. And so when you do this and you look through the eyes into the heart, no lie is there. So Krishna then, sorry, Radharani, did not want that Sita Sakhi looks into her eyes. But Sita Sakhi says, Krishna wants that a painting to his liking and to his being alike is made. So then Radha allowed Sita Sakhi to look for a moment in the eyes. And there she saw Krishna. She saw Krishna who's surrounded by love. You can only recognize Krishna with a loving heart. So by seeing him in that loving eyes of Radha, who gave Sita Sakhi a view into the loving what? Heart of Radha, no? She could see. And she painted most beautiful painting. And then she brought the painting to Krishna, to Yashoda. So Krishna was just playing in the courtyard, and when Sita Sakhi came with the painting, it was covered with a cloth. Krishna followed it, and then Sita Sakhi went into the palace, lifted the veil, and Krishna. Yashoda looked at it, and then Krishna looked, and the Krishna said, why have you kidnapped me? This is the real Krishna. I'm only the imitation Krishna. And when Mother Yashoda heard her little boy joking like this, she felt very alive. And there are a few pictures of Krishna painted by Lalita. There is a picture which is worshipped. There are a few pictures painted by a blind man about Radha and Krishna, which is worshipped. And this picture, I do not know. I would love to see this picture. But maybe in my next visit to Braj, I have an idea where I might find it, but perhaps not. Let's see. The name is not different from Krishna. The picture is not different from Krishna. Even if you have a picture in the mind, it's not different from Krishna. I decided to make an experiment how Krishna has come into this life to me. I went to the house of Sigi Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist who has enriched the Western intellectual sphere with telling us that there is an unconscious mind, no? Das Unterbewusstsein. You might have heard about it. And he brought this to the forefront, that most of our activities which we do are steered from the unconscious mind. It's a very, very powerful thing. And Prabhupada tells the story that once a thief came to an assembly of pilgrims, and while he was, in the night he woke up, and he felt so much the desire to steal. I can see old habits are leaving very slowly our devotees and guests who come. There's this desire to cheat and steal somehow. It's very active. So he woke up in the night and, what should I do? I can't steal from devotees. That is very bad. So he got up and he took the bundles of the pilgrims and he just, in order to do something, moved them around. In the morning, the pilgrim said, "Where's my bundle? I need to take my soap and take a shower." And no one found their own bundle. And then the thief said, "I'm a thief, gentlemen, a professional thief. I could not help myself. The habit was so strong to steal, but I did not steal. I just rearranged the bundles." So this is coming from the subconscious mind, you know. People try to change, but it is so difficult for them. Or, you know, wanting fame, or wanting, you know, I don't know, so many things, unconscious desires. So Sigi Jung and others have brought our attention there, that many things we do are controlled by our subconscious mind. So I thought, if I am Krishna, and so long in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna should also be in my subconscious mind. Very deep. So I sat on the bench and I chanted and I asked, "Oh Krishna, Krishna, please." And all of a sudden, a beautiful image of Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan came to my mind. And a beautiful, it is an image I had seen on a picture before, but this time this image looked and smiled at me, different than a picture. And I understood for the first time then and there, it was, I don't know how long it happened, that Krishna and this picture are identical, that Krishna showed this in this Leela when he said, "You have kidnapped me." It's not a picture, no? So yes, the subconscious, we should have Krishna's image in our subconscious mind, and therefore it helps to come to the deities, to look at Krishna's form, to hear about him. And we need to do that. We need to increase it. By the way, in good Krishna Katha, you talk about Krishna, you dance for Krishna, you see a theater about Krishna. There are five things which you do in good Krishna Katha. And watch the next ones, they will be full of these. Maybe Go Krishna will dance. He doesn't look like a real dancer, is he? He's better singing, no? No, but thank you, Konya Bihari. It's something I'm thinking about. When I first started to think of to speak about Krishna, no one was interested, and they were starting. When do we hear that that talk? We are used to hear. Huh? Habits are very strong, but now I think many are interested in Krishna, and I would recommend you to really go to good sources of Krishna Katha. One is Gopal Champu. It was a favorite source of Krishna Katha from Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, and many of us are appreciating very nicely. Gopal Champu. Every week you're reading? With Mangala, I think, no? Yeah? No? Wonderful. I thank you. So, I think we can end here. We don't want to go so late. There are many interesting things going to happen, and Gokish and Gorahari might give us an Vaijajanti, may I ask you, are these the tears of Lord Nityananda, or what is it? This?
Yes.
Yes? No, what was in your mind?
No, it's very nice.
Yeah, one doesn't want to say to a devotee who sees something, no. You saw wrongly. Can mean many things. Thank you, Vajajandi. It's another masterpiece of yours. Isn't it? Nitai Chanda, the moon of Nityananda. What do you think, Rishabh? It's very beautiful, no? It has... There are some secrets why it is, so I can see, but you can't see. Good, so Hare Krishna, Gaura Hari, please tell us.
Hare Krishna,
Guru
Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I feel very blessed to be able to host this festival in Gorakhadham and to come to this meeting point, meeting again, having so much time actually where we can hear from Guru Maharaj and invite and take with us. For those of you who were not there in the recent festivals, you might see that Gorakhadham is little bit, we have quite some space missing because of the construction of the prasadam room. So just for information, we have all the prasadam will be in the tent, and in between the time of prasadam, if you are hungry or like this, the prasadam will be left in the pizzeria, which is in the next building on the side. So in case you can always go there in the day if you are hungry or like this. And if you are thirsty, we have containers in different places. One is just here in front of the prasadam room, but a big one. We have in the kitchen of the pizzeria, and we have also in the entrance of the guest house.
We love your English, Gaura Hari. It's so nice. No, honestly, no, it is, finally some sweetness comes in this language. Pizzeria.
Yeah, a few words, I'm always a little bit unsure about it. I'm doing my best. I got a lot of improvements after having been serving Maharaj, so my English has really improved. another point, some of you were asking if I could register. That's impossible today evening, but every day you can do that. There is a schedule on the temple door, and that is happening on the first floor of this building. Just go up the stairs. There you will find the registration place, there is a temple shop, and there is a Maharaj shop, where you can also get some prasadam in the place for sitting. So this is all happening on the first floor. Tomorrow we have a wonderful day coming up. It's in the morning. So even Satchinathana Swami will tune us about qualities of disciple.
Yeah, of ideal disciple. Yeah.
So we will hear actually a lot about Nityananda, about Guru, but also about disciple, which will make it very relevant. And later on we have disciple meeting. We have Guru's Pranam. So there also it might require a little bit thought for all of you about maybe something valuable you have experienced last year in regard to Guru Maharaj that maybe was impacting your life in a certain way. You might like to keep it and share it into the group. And then in the afternoon we will have the disciple meeting. We have 3 hours of beautiful association with Guru Maharaj, where we can ask questions and where we be impelled to think deeper in this topic. So that's for tomorrow. So now prasadam will be served in the tent outside. And yeah, please also take the time to arrive. If you are very eager and well rested, Mandalamati is at 4:30. But otherwise, please take it easy the first day so that you are fully awake for all the katas that will be there during the day. So that's for now. Wishing you a wonderful time in Gorakhadham. We hope we can host you nicely. And yeah, we look forward to many more katas from
our. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Gaura Hari. May I just say one small thing? Tomorrow we will have a disciple meeting. When did you say? 4 or 5? Something 5.
4:30 to 7:30. 2 hours in the end afternoon.
to be sure you can look at the schedule. There is, yeah. Okay, someone can look already. So in this disciple meeting, Bhagavadama, you know the time?
4:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Good. 4:30 we start. I would really appreciate, we have changed it a little bit. There were some organizational reasons why. I would really appreciate if you come with some questions or some subjects, like the one which, for instance, our Kunya Bihari now asked. It is the quality of such meetings are really when we are tuned in. It's almost like when you play a game like tennis, for instance, you need two so that the ball can fly back and forth and that there is a exciting game. I'm giving an analogy. So in the guru-disciple relationships, it's good if something comes from you also. We should see that we make it a rich meeting where really the essential questions are also addressed. There may also be questions where you feel normally a little uncomfortable to ask them, but if they're real questions, if they're real, nothing is not good. Everything is wonderful, and therefore I request you to bring something with you, because that will largely increase the, how would you say, the vibrancy of the meeting. I called this a little bit, I wanted to, you know, make you thinking, and I gave the title, "We May Need an Attitude Adjustment." That's a powerful subject. I will speak about this. I think there is not one in the room who is not connected with this, you know, this subject. So you will, it's good if you bring your thoughts with you, and then we can have it very lively, no? Very real, you know, very spiritually uplifting. Good. So I will not talk more. I'm so happy I made it in time, or relatively in time, only half an hour late. That's nothing. And now I'm getting warm to talk, but I'll stop here because you need to arrive, you need to take prasadam, and you need to rest so that you can be good with us. So tomorrow, that is the main program, but of course I have prepared strongly on the ideal guru-disciple relationship. Yes. Good. Hare Krishna. See you tomorrow.